Good evening and welcome to this special Friday edition of the KRFP Evening Report for September 16th, 2016. On today's show, we'll have an excerpt from the unveiling of the new Moscow brand, There's an Eye in Our Team, held at City Hall, September 6th. But first, this news. Regulators working for the state of Washington have finalized new rules requiring large industrial polluters to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Ecology Department Director Maya Bellin announced the new rules yesterday, which will force large carbon emitters such as several power plants, five oil refineries, fuel distributors, and pulp and paper mills, among others, to gradually reduce their carbon output to reduce the state's impact on climate change. Bellin said, "When we consider the challenges our communities face from climate change, we are compelled to act." According to the Associated Press, Bellin addressed concerns from state business leaders who say the rules will hurt Washington families who will feel the brunt of the financial impacts and limit energy businesses' ability to compete globally. Bellin said consumers likely won't feel the effects. Bellin said even using the worst-case scenarios in the research models, electricity prices would go up by $16 a year, while gas prices would only go up by a penny per gallon. Association of Washington Businesses President Chris Johnson criticized Governor Jay Inslee. Johnson called Inslee's decision to move the new rules forward as written, quote, a case of regulatory overreach. Johnson countered Bellin's assertion that electricity prices would not increase substantially, saying, quote, consumers will face higher costs to heat their homes, drive to work, and at the grocery store. Several environmental groups applauded Inslee for moving forward with the new rules, including the Washington Environmental Council. Council spokesperson Sasha Polak said the tax on emissions will fund other clean energy programs for towns most impacted by climate change. Pollack said, "We must continue to work toward a comprehensive climate policy." In November, Washington voters will be asked to vote on Initiative 732, which would impose a tax on all carbon fossil fuel emissions and at the same time lower state sales and business taxes. Washington is poised to become the first recreational marijuana state to institute a regular program to test cannabis for pesticides. The State Liquor and Cannabis Board says it will pay the State Agriculture Department $1 million to purchase sophisticated testing equipment and hire two full-time lab technicians to test pot. Liquor and Cannabis Board Director Rick Garza wrote in a statement, "Regular testing, quote, will send a strong message to any producer applying illegal pesticides that they will be caught and face significant penalties, including possible cancellation of the license." Washington has tested cannabis for pesticides before, but only when there have been complaints. The legislature's decision to essentially merge the medical and recreational cannabis markets has led to more pressure from patients to make sure cannabis does not have any unapproved pesticides. The Liquor and Cannabis Board requires cannabis producers arrange to have their pot tested for mold, bacteria, insects, and potency. Oregon, Washington, and Colorado have lists of pesticides that are legal to use on marijuana plants. Colorado and Oregon are waiting for pesticide testing labs to be certified before they begin widespread testing. Colorado has investigated 100 cases of suspected illegal pesticide use on cannabis and found at least 40% of those investigated had unapproved pesticide residue. Washington has done 45 investigations for pesticide on cannabis since 2014. The board says the new Agriculture Department lab expects to be able to test 75 samples per month for 100 unapproved pesticides. Agriculture Department spokesperson Hector Castor said, "This should be a real game changer for the industry in terms of public safety. They're on notice that we're going to be on the lookout for this." Washington State University administrators and athletic department officials said yesterday they will increase student fees and expand alcohol sales as part of a long-term plan to decrease the athletic department's $13 million debt and bring department finances into the black. Board of Regents and administrators discussed the plan at yesterday's Board of Regents meeting. The plan is the culmination of a series of meetings between President Kirk Schulz, Athletic Department Director Bill Moose, and Budget Chief Joan King. Schulz said at the meeting, "We've been meeting all summer on this particular issue to make sure within several years that expenses and revenue will match up. We didn't get to the fiscal situation we are in 12 months, and it's going to take us more than 12 months to get out of that. We all love when our miracles occur, but the fact is it's going to take some time." The plan calls for increased single ticket and season ticket sales for football and basketball and expanding alcohol sales at those venues on game days. Administrators will also increase student fees $50 in the 2017 academic year, raising a total of $1.7 million annually. Chief Budget Officer Joan King said she did not know how long it will take to get the athletic department solvent. King said, "I would not even speculate at this time what year it might be, but a miracle might happen." The Daily News reports WSU officials believe solvency is not likely for the athletic department until at least 2021. Pullman Police Chief Gary Jenkins met yesterday with Washington State University President Kirk Schulz and Athletic Department Director Bill Moose to discuss law enforcement investigation protocols. Jenkins said the meeting was not centered on WSU football coach Mike Leach's allegations earlier in the week that police are targeting WSU football players in three recent assault cases. Since June, the Pullman Police Department has investigated three assaults allegedly involving members of the WSU football team. Moose said in a press release, "The meeting was a chance for all of us there to come together face to face and discuss the recent incidents. It was an opportunity to express thoughts on all sides and gain a better understanding of processes and procedures in incidents like we have recently seen. We certainly respect the task facing law enforcement, and throughout my tenure as athletic director, have made every effort to fully cooperate with local authorities." Police Chief Jenkins said the relationship between the police department and WSU was strong entering the meeting and is still strong. The National Science Foundation has awarded part of a four-year, $2.8 million grant to the University of Idaho College of Education. The University of Rochester in New York will share the grant with the UI. The grant will support research of an online-based professional development model, which will allow teachers in rural communities to advance math education through online courses and video coaching for communities which have less access than other more populous areas. Region 1 Match Center Director Julie Amador, who is a UI education professor in Coeur d'Alene, said, "This program will ensure teachers in remote areas of Idaho are receiving instructional support that will ultimately influence student learning in mathematics." A 27-year-old logging truck driver is dead after his vehicle overturned near the bottom of the Kendrick Grade yesterday at around 7:20 a.m. Emergency responders pronounced Dietrich S. Vaughn of St. Mary's dead at the scene. Idaho State Police said the truck veered across the median and tipped over, rolled into a ditch, and overturned. Witnesses reported the truck's brakes were smoking near the top of the grade, 3 miles north of the accident. A Montana legislative committee wants to allow tribes to hunt bison in Yellowstone National Park in order to limit the number of buffalo that might leave the park and get into private property. Hunting within the park is currently illegal unless specifically authorized by Congress. The committee's letter to Yellowstone Superintendent Dan Wenk came a day after they voted 9-7 in favor of the plan, even though there are no requests from area tribes to hunt inside the park. Representatives of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes said yesterday they have plenty of opportunities to hunt for bison outside the park. Democrats objected to the plan. Stephanie Adams with the National Parks Conservation Association said state officials had missed an opportunity to push for expanded habitat for bison outside of park boundaries. Since 2000, thousands of bison have been captured and sent to slaughter after they entered Montana. Several tribes with long-standing treaty rights hold annual bison hunts outside the boundaries of Yellowstone. Those hunts have stirred some controversy because hunters at times have shot bison immediately after stepping beyond the park boundary, and this practice has not reduced the size of the herds. The most recent count found 5,000 bison in Yellowstone, a near-record level for the modern era. Many Yellowstone bison carry the disease brucellosis that could potentially be harmful to livestock and cause pregnant animals to miscarry, losing their young. However, no bison-to-cattle transmission of brucellosis has ever been recorded. Yellowstone rejected requests from former Montana Governor Brian Schweitzer to allow public hunting in the park when the Democrat was still in office. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. We now turn to our featured segment, an 18-month collaborative effort to create a new brand for the city of Moscow has resulted in the tagline, "There's an I in our team." The I refers to the University of Idaho, and the tagline will be used in a number of ads promoting the community and university. At a presentation at Moscow City Hall September 6th, Tony Hines, the creative director for the Spokane advertising agency BHW1, presented some of the ads with the tagline, including one that said, "Moscow, a tale of hipsters, hippies, and hip surgeons," and another saying, "Our university offers 85 degrees, as do our summers." The rebranding was financed by the Chamber of Commerce, the City of Moscow, the University of Idaho, and by a grant from the Idaho Commerce Department. During this segment of the broadcast, you'll hear from Tony Hines of the Spokane advertising firm BHW1, Moscow Mayor Bill Lambert, City Council member and Chamber of Commerce Director Gina Taruscio, who is also a member of the Community University Strategic Partnership Steering Committee, and others. Originally, the Moscow Chamber of Commerce, the University of Idaho, and the city said they would pay BHW1 Consulting $50,000 to do the research and come up with the brand, with the chamber paying $30,000 and the university and city paying $10,000 each. That money was augmented by a $64,000 Idaho Commerce Department grant, of which $15,000 has been spent to augment the branding process, bringing the total costs so far to $65,000. Of that, $4,000 was spent on an initial ad campaign, which will launch soon. Here's some of the recording of the unveiling of the new Moscow brand at the Moscow City Hall, Tuesday, September 6th. The first voice is Moscow Mayor Bill Lambert.
You know, we know as we go along that there's going to be many more opportunities and conferences that the University of Idaho will be able to host, and so that's a very exciting thing for us. And so I'm very excited working with Chuck Staben, the president of the University of Idaho, and we're having a good time getting things, I think, achieved. And I'm very excited about third year being the mayor here, about the collaborative efforts that we've got and worked together to achieve some of our success. Over the past 18 months, our Community University Strategic Partnership, the acronym CUSP, team has been working with a company called BHW1, and I will let them explain what their acronym is. But they're, this was a marketing group to help develop a community brand that can capture the essence of the Moscow community. Our goal for the project was to define Moscow's brand, an expression of our identity, our reputation, and what we have to offer to its citizens, businesses, and visitors. And I want to thank you all for your efforts that have helped with this project, as well as the community at large. And you're going to hear some of the community outreach from surveys that these folks received, and that will be kind of exciting. Anyway, this team approach has proven itself right here in Moscow as we move forward together with all of us pulling in the same direction to achieve our goals that we cannot do alone and we know we can't do them alone. And so the fun thing about that, too, is when we work together on things, we all have a little bit of ownership and take ownership of it. We can all kind of, it's like policing your own neighborhood, something that's nice within it, you can keep it going. And that's kind of the enthusiasm that we're looking at with this branding process in our community. I'm excited about the results of this fantastic branding process with a team tonight, and that'll, again, the University of Idaho, Moscow Chamber of Commerce, and especially our entire community, because it's a community that makes it for us. It's all about community, folks. Gina Taruccio, our executive director of the chamber, who really is the one that spearheaded and got the funding and things for it, and I'm going to introduce her here in a minute, but this lady has been terrific for us in the growth of our business community over the number of years that she's been an executive with us. And so with that Idaho Tourism Grant, Gina, I will let you come forward and explain what's going on for the folks. But anyway, please welcome Gina Taruccio, our executive director of the Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you, thank you. What a day. Oh, my gosh. What a great, great day. Okay, so we, every year, annually, I can use that word, we receive a tourism grant. Now, what that is part of the 2% that is collected every time someone stays in a hotel or a bed and breakfast and that kind of thing in Moscow. That goes down to the Department of Commerce, and they will actually then grant it back out to community organizations, to, you know, chambers, that sort of thing, each year in support of their efforts to increase tourism in their regions. This year, we were lucky enough to receive $64,000. It's up from last year and up from when I first started this game. And I think what's really cool is the state is watching us. They really, really support and are excited by the kind of things we're doing here in Moscow. So I can't take all the credit for spearheading Melanie and Cammie and Jen. A couple years ago, we were sitting around trying to bemoaning. We were bemoaning. We were thinking of our wish list. We'd done what we wanted to for the grant for the year, and we started to think, what else could we do? And we started that, you know, the 30,000-foot view, and then we went down to what we could actually do. And one of the wish lists was this cohesive, collaborative, really neat brand for our community where somebody would say, that's Moscow. So we started talking and we pulled in the University of Idaho and we pulled in the city of Moscow and the businesses one by one, you know, and it took us 18 months. I will tell you, we are here and it's pretty stinking exciting. I'm still nervous. I've been nervous all day. This is just such a huge thing. I will say thank you to my partners in crime, you three women. That's it, girls. This is fun. What are we doing next, though, is what I want to know. And Dr. Chuck, thank you. Bill, you too. Where'd you go? Thank you very much. I have the pleasure now of introducing to you our 18th and by far most exciting president of the University of Idaho, Dr. Chuck Sabin.
I'm not sure I can live up to that introduction, but Gina, thanks very much. Bill, thanks a lot. I won't give away what you're about to see, but I think you'll see that the university plays a major part in this, but the community does too, and we're partnered together in a very exciting way. We do a lot of things together, and I was fortunate to meet Bill actually on a visit before I even became president, and I think we've been working together productively since then, and I meet regularly with Gina as well and with some of you here, and it's really important that we have this partnership. Those of us who live here know that Moscow is a great place to live and a fun place to be, whether you were spending time at the farmer's market on Saturday, as I was, buying some raspberries and meeting people. It's kind of a social gathering place, and it's wonderful. Or whether you were on the maybe on the Latah Trail. Tom, were you out on the Latah Trail this weekend? I was too, probably cycling a little slower than you, but nonetheless, I was out there and enjoying the wonderful, wonderful bike paths that we have. And we have so many things in the community that the university brings and that the community brings. The airport realignment, a great example of how we're working across this community and with the university, with the universities in our region, et cetera. So we work together like this, and that's really the reason, I think, that we have a great life here. We have a great university here. The university was just named one of the top universities by Princeton Review, for example. But this town was named one of the great college towns by College Rank just the other day. I think one of the top 50 college towns in the U.S. So we know it's a great town, and we know it's a great university, and we're extremely pleased to be partners with that town here and to enjoy this setting. So thanks very much. What I get to do now, so you might ask, or you might be wondering, why is it important that the university and the town share this brand? Because we're going to co-promote these wonderful things that we share. And that's why I think this community university strategic partnership is very important. We have worked together for 18 months with BHW1, roughly, on this project, and tonight unveil it. Some of you may have seen this earlier today, I realize, and some not. But why is it important that we have this sort of simple way of communicating just how great the University of Idaho and the city of Moscow are and how well they work together? Because it's important that everybody know that and that they want to come here and enjoy our town and enjoy our university and benefit from it. So with that, I'd like to let the folks from BHW1 explain what they did for us over these 18 months and what this brand will do for us as a community and as a university. Thanks very much.
Okay, and I get to go wireless because I'm the guy who walks around rather than staying behind a podium. So Zach said he'd figure it out and get it out to the right level. I hope everyone can hear me. My name is Tony Hines. I'm the creative director at BHW1. I'd like to introduce Greg Birchall, who's one of the partners. He's the B in BHW1. I am not the H in BHW1, but we can take care of that later. That's a different discussion. We're really excited to be here tonight and to talk to you. We've been really excited over the last 18 months to work on this project. And actually, just to set the stage a little bit, I personally, Greg, have been doing this for more than 20 years. And you get projects that come down the pipeline that are really unique and really interesting, and you know it's a great opportunity for you to shine in what you're doing, as well as to make the people, the client you're working with, really shine as well. So in 20 years in this business, right now we work with Visit Spokane. We've worked with Silver Mountain Resort. In the past, I've worked with the state of Montana on branding. I worked with Salt Lake City, Utah, Visit Salt Lake, the Salt Lake Olympic bid committee to try and bring the Olympics to Salt Lake, which we did. Sun Valley Resort, a lot of destination kinds of brands. And I have to say, what we've come up with this in working with the CUSP committee and with everyone in Moscow is, I think, very unique and very persuasive and very much reflective of Moscow and who we are. And very proud to start running with this kind of thing, because not only is it going to be good for you all, it's going to make me look good. And that's what it's all about, is making me look good. Uh-oh.
Oh, we got it.
All right.
That's all you had to do.
See, I shouldn't have talked so long to start off with. So, let's talk about this here place. I have roots in southern Idaho. I was born in Twin Falls. I have family in the southern Idaho region, mostly around Mountain Home. My grandfather, who was actually named Pi Hines. I don't know why you name your kid Pi. I obviously inherited that love of pie, so that's kind of going along. But he was a cattle rancher down in southern Idaho for many, many years. He passed away some years ago. But there's lots of times when I get into these things and I kind of fall into that little colloquial spin of, let's talk about this here place. I can hear Pi Hines saying it, so it seemed appropriate for me because just really wanted to be kind of conversational about how we handled this and how we started this and how we worked with the CUSP community. So what we were tasked with, what we really wanted to do is capturing the Moscow mystique. And I think that's one of the things, you'll see some of the stuff that we talk about, some of the data that we'll be showing, it really does kind of speak to an essence about a mystique of Moscow, how Moscow is different from other places in Idaho, for certain, from other cities of a similar size, from really anywhere else. And that's something that's such a difficult proposition when you have a project and a client of really capturing the essence of who they are, and you kind of know that you really need to buckle down and do your extra work to really try and capture that. That's always the kind of projects that we really want to get into, and it's the kind of projects that challenge us personally. The first question is always why? You know, why were we doing this? Certainly the whole CUSP committee, everything, the mayor talked about it, bringing everyone together. But when we started boiling it down, you know, what do we do with this brand? What do we do with this campaign? What's that going to do for us? It allows us first to share connections, because that's what the CUSP committee is all about. That's what this whole partnership is all about, is creating connections among many different entities, many different people within the city and within the region. It's sharing the community. I mean, that's the community aspect of a lot of what we're about. That's what Moscow is about, that we've heard many, many times through our research and our interviews and talking with different people, is that whole sense of community, everyone having a sense of belonging. And sharing opportunities. As we share opportunity to move forward, you're going to see some of the pillars that we talk about in terms of marketing messages and the kinds of marketing we're going to be pushing out there to try and attract some people. The process. So I kind of wanted to share a little bit over the whole course. As we talked about, this has been an 18-month process that we've been working on. This is just a slide from the very first presentation we made to the Moscow folks when we first came in, and it was at the Best Western, and we did the little pitch, and I happen to know that you guys had picked a different agency and figured you're going to go with a different agency, and we came in, and we just kind of felt this good connection right away, I think, where everyone knew, like, oh, this is right, we need to work together. So thank you for picking us instead of the other agency. Although they would have done a fine job, I'm sure. I do know that many different agencies were consulted before we were selected, so it wasn't, you know, anything like that. This was our original presentation where we really kind of talked about the mind process and branding and how you occupy share of mind and all that kind of stuff. So it was a little bit about our processes. The only reason I showed it is just because it was fun going back 18 months to see it. So as part of the process, we started having some meetings. We started having some branding workshops. We did a couple of branding workshops specifically. And then as part of that, we did several interviews. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And we did surveys within the community. This was kind of like the little call out for surveys where we wanted community surveys to happen. And within the span of 3 weeks when we had that survey go out, we had more than 500 responses within the community, a community of this size. And that, I want to get across how impressive that is for a community of this size. I remember going through this branding process with another city of about 100,000 people, and we had about 100 responses in that process. So when you look at the level of participation in Moscow at the size that it is, versus another community, perfectly fine community, but I won't say what it is. I think the level of participation just in people being willing to talk about Moscow and tell us about Moscow and what makes Moscow special is kind of interesting. So this was kind of one of the things that we started doing with the I Love Moscow Because, and we did an online survey, which was ilovemoscowidaho.com. I know it was done at different parts of or different places around the community as well. What we did is we started collecting that data. You can't see it very well, but this just gives you an idea, like, of one of the questions that we had. What word or words do you think of when you think about Moscow? list up to three. And so this was just kind of capturing from the database what words people were saying, which is kind of interesting to go through and read some of the words. Not all of them are actual words, which is kind of fun. You know, people kind of make up strategery, that kind of thing. So this is just kind of an output of like 4 or 5 pages of just words that people were associating. This actual report, when we generated it, there was 150 pages of words like this just that people talked about. So that was good data, good input. As we talked about, it's an 18-month process that we've been through. It was grant funds that we worked with through Visit Idaho, through the state of Idaho, which, again, as Gina has said, the state has been very supportive and very interested and excited in what we're doing, which I think we can all say is a measure of success, too, because the state is paying attention to what we're doing, and we're getting their attention. They're seeing that maybe it's something a little different and a little different spin. So we love that. Again, working with the CUSP Steering Committee, we did several branding sessions where we sat down and talked about what is a brand, what does it entail, what's a brand image, what's our personality. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. As part of this process, too, in addition to the surveys, we did probably 24 interviews with people from various strata of Moscow in general. So, you know, business owners, students, university people, folks off the street kind of thing. We tried to get kind of a representative sampling where we did kind of more in-depth interviews with several different people. And then again, more than 500 community surveys. So here's where we got to start getting really geeky. Some of you might know word clouds if you look online. Lots of times, in terms of blogs, people will have different tags or categories for blogs that, you know, the more that particular term is talked about, the larger that term is. That's what we did with the data. We had, you know, more than 10,000 words when we started doing our transcripts of both the surveys and the interviews with Moscow people. And so we uploaded it through software and did basically word clouds that would generate the more a word was used about when people were talking about Moscow, the larger the word is on this. So on the left side is from our community interviews, and the right side is from the community surveys, which were done independent of each other. And you can't see every little individual word, and that's perfectly fine. It was just kind of a way of visualizing some of that data and starting to see what are the words that are rising to the top. I think what was really interesting is whether it was from the surveys or whether it was from the community interviews, we had a lot of agreement how people would talk about Moscow. So that told us something unique about the community as well. Lots of times when you're talking to a community, a brand, a destination, any kind of company that builds widgets, you can talk to different divisions and different people and have different stories. You know, some people will say, well, I think this is really important. And other people say, well, no, this is really important and this is who we are. And we had a pretty remarkable consistency in how people felt and talked about Moscow, which, again, kudos to all of you because you know your story.
You're listening to the unveiling of the new Moscow brand, recorded at Moscow City Hall, Tuesday, September 6th, 2016.
So in talking about all this, some common themes kind of emerged. And again, after we got to go to our little geeky session where we started developing these word clouds, we started doing what we call clustering. So we'd cluster it around kind of different themes. You know, what are, you know, these words kind of belong in this particular category and theme, and these words kind of belong in this category or theme. And what we really came up with is these commonalities. So this whole sense of community, oneness, togetherness, that everyone's kind of in this together, and that's something we heard time and again in our interviews and our surveys. The whole sense of being friendly and welcoming, which I think any community says, but I think was very much demonstrated in a lot of the things that happen. At the same time, the whole sense of open-mindedness and diversity, which filters in with all of this, that there's a diversity of thought that's here and present in Moscow, that it's not, we're not all carbon copies of each other here. And you notice I keep saying we, that's because I feel like I'm part of Moscow now, even though I live in Spokane. But there's this whole sense of open-mindedness and diversity. And in one of the interviews specifically, and I heard it echoed in other interviews, but I thought it was really interesting sitting down with one person who said, you know, you talk about, well, what's unique and different about the community. And this person chose to talk about, you know, a certain aspect of Moscow that was something he totally disagreed with. So he went on to say, you know, here's something I don't agree with, but I love that that is present here. I love that that kind of thought is present here. And I thought that showed a real level of maturity, and especially, you know, in the kind of election season that we're in, where you are very much over here or you are very much over here. I think kudos to Moscow as well for being able to have people on both sides of any position or aisle and be thankful for people on other side of the aisle. And I'm not saying that just politically. I'm just saying that on anything in general.
And that was Tony Hines from the Spokane advertising firm BHW1 speaking at the unveiling of the new Moscow brand. There's an I in our team, held at City Hall September 6th. You also heard from Moscow Mayor Bill Lambert, City Council Member and Chamber of Commerce Director Gina Taruzio, who is also a member of the Community University Strategic Partnership Steering Committee, and University of Idaho President Chuck Staben in that excerpt. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow Pullman area. Rain likely in the afternoon tomorrow, otherwise cloudy, high 64. Southwest winds 5 to 10, 70% chance of precipitation. 60% chance of showers, mainly before midnight Saturday night. Otherwise cloudy, low 53. Southwest winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 25. 40% chance of showers before noon on Sunday, mostly cloudy, high 68. West winds 5 to 10, increasing to 15 to 20 in the morning, gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Partly cloudy Sunday night, low 47, southwest winds 15 to 20, decreasing in the evening, gusts up to 30 miles an hour. And then mostly sunny Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, highs 69 Monday, 64 Tuesday and Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach and Marie McHugh assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. Remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are archived on the KRFP website shortly after broadcast. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.